I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, and welcome to the second executive edition of the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm your host, Wildcat Dad.
I'm AstroZombie954.
And today is Friday, March 11th. And we are here live on Twitch with our special guest, our man of the hour, Instinct Leader Spark. Say hello to the people.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
So, Spark, how's the week been going? You've been streaming like crazy, like always, of course. So, how's everything going?
Battles are going well. We've been having a fun time this season. It's nice not to have to worry about Elo this season and just been running a bunch of spice, different teams, and seeing what possibilities are out there. You know, so it's nice to take a break from the normal for once.
Yeah, and you are a huge fan of Ultra League, if I remember correctly.
Yep, Ultra League is one of my favorite leagues. I like Great League because there's so many mons you can use in it, but it is the most competitive out of all of them. But Ultra League, I feel like, is more of a grind because you got a lot more XLs, you got legendaries, stuff that you normally don't get to use on a daily basis. Like, whenever are you going to use a Giratina in a raid? You're not, you know? So that's why I like using these mons because you've raided them and stuff like that, right? So you might as well use them.
So this isn't actually part of the interview yet. I just am curious. So when XL first came along, were you a fan of Ultra League at the time already, or did you start liking Ultra after XLs?
I liked it before XLs. I was running the Home Slice Henry team at the time, which was Gyarados, Lapras, Giratina, Altered, and that carried me through Legend in Season 8, Season 9, before XLs became big. And in Season 10, they kind of struggled just because there were so many XLs around, but the team it still performs very well. I love that team.
Awesome. So we're going to hop in just to the interview and ask some basic Pokemon questions.
Okay.
Just to get to know you a little bit. So first off, what was your introduction to Pokemon in general?
Oh, man. Well, I think it started off for most people in my generation, my age. I started when I was 10, when the first game came out on the Game Boy. I went with Red, was my first game I played. And my brother had Blue, so it was kind of funny, you know, that we were both always on the opposite end of the spectrum. I like Charizard, he liked Blastoise, you know, and so it's kind of fun playing with my brother back then. And I remember playing on the Game Boy, Super Game Boy. You had the old NES, Super Nintendo system, and you had the big cartridge thing, right? And you could play on the TV. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool playing on the big screen, but yeah.
Cool. So did you play all the main series games through that point, or have you kind of fallen in and out like a lot of people our age?
I've fallen in and out. I think the last time I played was Diamond and Pearl, the original one, and then I didn't play again until X and Y, I think.
That's only one missed.
Well, one miss. And then I kind of went on and off right after that. You know, it was like I played it for a little bit, then I jumped back out, and then I didn't really get back into it until Sun and Moon was the next one I got into. Then, of course, Legend of Arceus.
How do you like an Arceus?
Arceus, I really like it a lot. I think it's definitely a lot more involved because I'm not really a gamer. I love playing Pokemon Go, but me having hand-eye coordination to have these joysticks in my hand to kind of dodge and move around, I'm like, no, this is not what I do. I'm like, what happened to the Pokemon game where you could just toss a ball and catch stuff, you know? I'm like, oh my God. So it took me a while to learn it, but I like it. It is a lot of fun.
Okay, I gotta ask, how many hours have you put into it?
About 80 hours so far.
Okay, so you're right there on par with me. I think I'm at 85. Astro, yeah. Are you still playing?
Yeah. Let's see. Last night I got to. I have to catch a Dusclops.
Oh God. I hate
okay,
that.
You're at that point. Yeah, in that. Okay.
Yeah. But I just like I got my ass kicked in this like bubble thing.
Mm-hmm. Or time distortion. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna try and catch these things, and I ended up catching like. A Magnezone. I think I got a Magnezone, Alakazam, and a Mr. Mime. I think Mr. Mime out of there.
Nice. I remember how scary the first time distortion can be because that thing just comes at you and they just start smacking you around.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, Astro, don't make the same mistake I did after I caught my Dusclops. I thought I needed Dusknoir and I was looking for a Reaper Cloth for like 3 days. I was like, wait, I didn't need this the whole time.
Oh, that's writing so it down funny right now. Sad.
Cool. Don't waste 3 days looking for. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun with it. So yes. My wife doesn't come by and say, "What the hell are you playing?"
So Astro, I realize I don't know if you can see the notes. I shared them on the screen so you could kind of read them. So I'll let you ask the next question since I didn't share notes ahead of time.
Yeah, I was letting you go. Like I said, I was riding sidecar. So obviously, you know, you got started here with streaming. So what made you decide to like jump on Twitch and start doing this live?
It started off with I really enjoyed battling, and then I can't remember who said, "Hey, have you checked out Twitch before?" And I was like, "No, I haven't looked into Twitch and everything else." I was like, "I don't think I'm really like streamer material." And then I started watching FP Sticks, but then I really got into watching Alleging Tuna. Alleging Tuna was one of the biggest influences in me becoming a streamer. Because I really enjoyed his content, how he interacted with the viewers, and everything about the community, you know. And I got introduced to streamwriters like that too. So I was like, this is kind of fun, you know. So after I would say maybe 6 months of watching stream, I joined in January of last year. December of 2020 was my first stream. So it's been a little over a year and a couple of months now, but. That was my main introduction to streaming, and I wanted to, you know, expand on the community and help people out with battling because I felt like I had something to offer, because I know that how emotional it can be battling sometimes, and yeah. I wanted to let people know that you're not the only ones going through it, because I mean I'm an emotional battler. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, I really want to do well for the community, and I want to show people that it's okay. You know, we all go through these struggles, and we can overcome them together.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that kind of drew me into your stream that night when we hopped on. And once again, random raid. Who knew how awesome that could be? Was you were down, I think you were all the way down at like just over 2,500 at that point. And you could see in your head that you were frustrated with what was happening as far as battles go, but you were still very positive, very, okay, y'all, we got this, we can do this. So I know you're extremely positive. How do you keep that positivity up all the time?
It wasn't always like that, you know, believe it or not, you know, came to basically starting to accept that, you know, we all can't be perfect, right? You know, and that... we have to do the best that we can, and you know, forgive ourselves for like any mistakes that we make, right? And I think that once I came to realize that after talking to a good friend, and I mean, I had like demons haunting me in my past about that, because I was always critical of myself, no matter was Pokemon Go, work, sports. I was always so competitive, and if I was not first place, I felt like I didn't deserve it. You know, and it was until the point when I talked to my one friend about what was going on. They're like, look, you're already a three-time legend. You've already done this. You know your counts. You still help the community. People are still coming to you for help. What else do you need? And it just finally, I finally broke down in tears talking about my childhood and how I was raised, right? And I think a lot of that came from, you know, finally letting go of all my past. But how do I stay positive now with battles and not let, you know, that stuff bother me anymore? I know that there's plenty of time. I know that I've worked hard to get to the point where I'm at. I know I have friends in the community that support me. You know, and I want to show people that, hey, you know, we all have our struggles, right? And I've shared it with people on stream before on what I went through personally, because I don't want people to go through the pain that I felt, you know, at times. You know, yeah. And you know, I want people to know that it's okay. If you need help, need to talk to somebody, I'm here.
Yeah. So one thing I've caught about your streams, and this is something that I absolutely enjoy, is you feature a certain Pokemon very prominently.
Zap.
Right, there we go. So I'm assuming it's safe to say that's your favorite Pokemon then.
Do we got earmuffs for Zap so he doesn't hear this?
Oh no! Breaking news, y'all.
No, Zap is one of my favorites, just because, you know, again, it's a Team Instinct's mascot, you know. I cosplay as Spark, so I got this from my friend who lived in Japan, and he sent this over to me. So Zap is one of my favorites. Now, is he my number one? Zap, sorry, no. I mean, Charizard is definitely my favorite. You know, going old school with it, you know, I mean, of course, Zap is Gen 1 as well. But I like Charizard just because, you know, it's the first one that when you first watch it, you think he's a dragon, right? You know, but he's not. You know,
how is he not a dragon? Come on,
he breathes fire. You know, I'm like, come on. But no, I love Charizard just because, you know, of the design of it. You know, I thought it was a really awesome looking Pokemon growing up when I was 10. You know, and it's like I just fell in love with it. You know. And of course, Zapdos is right up there. You know, I love the design of Zapdos, you know, and how, you know, they got the detail and made all the spikes on it, you know, so it looks like real pointy, electric looking, you know. So I love the design of Zapdos. And I think that's the one thing that drew me into Pokemon was like the design of the Pokemon themselves, in the especially in the early generations, right?
We won't talk about Generation 5, right? We'll just like that one. Ice cream cones.
I was going to say ice cream cone, trash bags. You know, yeah.
Hey, they've brought it back. The newer Gen 8 had some really good looking Pokemon, and I think even Legends Arceus, they're a little funky, but I like them.
Yeah,
they look like Pokemon again.
They look like Pokemon again. Yep, and especially the new generation that they're coming out with the Grass Cat. You know, that looks pretty awesome. I like how they're doing those designs. But do we really need another water duck? Seriously, do we need another ducklet, you know, in the format?
It's Fabio Luck. No. Fabio Lucklet.
Fabio Lucklet.
Fabio. Yeah, but Gen 1 is definitely, the Pokemon looked like what they were supposed to look like. It was much, much more straightforward. So, like you said, we've all kind of grown up with Pokemon, you know, from I'm trying to think since the beginning for me, shows my age, but what was your favorite like childhood memory of Pokemon? Like, is there like one thing that just sticks out in your brain?
Man, I think the first time I saw, you know, besides playing the games, right, you know, the very first big event was seeing Pokemon the movie in theaters. I mean, that was huge. Just seeing that in theaters, and I mean, the dynamics of the movie, and how amazing the graphics were back then too, you know, and the whole feel of the story, right? You know, you talk about story and animes and stuff like that. And I think, you know, for a while there, Pokemon lost that type of feel, you know, in between about the story and how everything felt, because it was a really emotional movie. I mean, when you're watching it as a kid, you're like, oh my God, what's happening here? You know,
Pikachu tear.
Right. You know, the Pikachu cry, you know, as a 10-year-old, you're like, what the heck's happening here? You know? But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was awesome, you know, seeing it in theaters. And then my next best memory was probably going to, as far as like Pokemon Go, going to Go Fest in 2017. I know that was the disaster fest, but besides the game not working and it being hot outside, I met some amazing people there. We had a great time together, and overall, Niantic did make up for it. I mean, as much as we talk bad about it sometimes about Niantic and the servers and stuff like that, you have to realize that they didn't have to give us $150 in Pokecoins at the end. They didn't have to give us a free Lugia in our account. So they tried their best to make it up to us. They're like, well, this was bad. We feel bad. You know, they couldn't reimburse us for all the travel and everything else, but they did what they could. And I mean, I appreciated that from them. I felt bad for the people that were on stage that had delivered the messages, because it's like, you know, it wasn't their fault. Because I work in IT and I'm like, oh, this is bad. I'm like, oh boy. But
someone did not stress test the system before they were supposed to.
Yeah, no. I mean, overall, though, I had a great time just talking to people, walking around, and it's just the scenery there. You know, I think that's the great part about Pokemon Go. You get to meet people. You get to interact with a whole group of people that you never met before, and I think it brings the community together. And I really do enjoy it. I think Pokemon Go has kind of reinvigorated the fire in me for Pokemon, in a sense, you know, and got me back into it, you know, 5 years ago.
So did you get to go to any of the other ones after the original one?
I did. I went to the 2019 Go Fest, and I was dressed as Spark at that one. So
nice.
We'll actually get to some of the questions you have, like the truth and the lie question. So I got some stuff there that we will talk about that. But, you know, so the 2019 one, I actually got tied up in a tent because I wandered into the wrong tent. I was looking at typical Instinct player, looking at my phone, catching stuff, right? And then I'm like, oh, it's a shiny Absol. And I'm looking up, I'm like, I'm in the Valor tent. Oh crap!
Did you think they had glue there for you or something? Or
oh no! So I didn't realize I was in the Valor tent, and as soon as I said I got a shiny Absol in their tent, they tied me up in a chair.
It's because that's secretly where your heart is. Your heart is
exactly. Valor. We're all Valor players at heart. Hey, you're a battler, isn't that what Valor is? Is battlers? Come on,
battlers. Yeah. Yep. For sure.
So. You mentioned that you kind of got back in love with Pokemon. Do you cover the other parts of the franchise as well? Are you into the TCG and the anime and things of that nature now as well?
I am into the anime. I watch the anime for the most part. I have a lot of them on DVD behind me here. Okay. I'm trying to get caught up on some of the stuff because I think I did miss some generations. I'm like, oh, I don't remember that story. Let me go back and watch it. But I am watching the new series for Journeys, and people are saying like Journeys isn't that great, you know, this and that. And I'm like, I really enjoy Journeys.
I love it.
I love the flowback. I love the throwbacks. I love the nostalgia of it. I also love the fact that we get to see Gary for the first time in like 10 years, you know, which was kind of awesome. And I think that if they do this right, I don't know if they're going to eventually transition away from Ash, but the theory is that they're going to make Go like the main character of the series eventually. You know,
I
so
mean, he's got to turn 16 at some point.
No, you don't. Don't you know the actual anime? Here's dark fan theories in the anime. The actual anime is Ash is in a coma the entire time.
Coma. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that
because
one.
Heard the first time he ever got electrocuted by Pikachu, it put him into a coma, and the anime is just his brain's way of dealing with being in a coma.
It's all fake.
Dark fan theories.
It makes sense why he didn't age, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I did play the Pokemon card game, to get back to your question. I did play that for a bit, and the card game gets expensive, especially now, with some of the cards that are out. And I stopped playing after I got beat by somebody who was, I think, 10 years old, and they were ranked like fourth in the world at our local store. I was like, yep, I am done. I'm 30 plus years old, and I got beat by a 10-year-old. I'm good. I'm good. I'm done. Like, yeah, you're like a prodigy here. You just like turn one, kill me on something. I don't even know what you did.
He did a Mew discard stack where he does like 1,000 damage per card and discard. And you're like, how did you discarded your entire thing? I thought I won by default, but all of a sudden I've lost now. Yeah, I've lost those kind of matches before. And I'm like, I don't understand what actually happened. All I know is I didn't win anymore.
Yeah, I was like, but I still enjoyed collecting the cards, you know, just because of the artwork on them and some of the rare stuff that, you know, they're putting into some of these sets. So I do still have my cards in binders and stuff like that, just because I was like, you know what, I love the artwork. You know, I mean, the way they designed the cards, I think, you know, at first it was like I was getting bored with Magic. So that's why I went back into Pokemon, because I wanted the, you know, the nice artwork. And then I was like, ooh, Magic actually has some nice artwork now too. But yeah.
So let's transition over to talk a little bit more about streaming, and that, because, you know, that's what we know you for now. First off, how often do you stream? I kind of know, but maybe the BTW listeners don't actually know how insane of a person you are. I mean, how often you stream?
I stream all 7 days of the week. Sometimes I do take off if I feel exhausted, because I do work a 40 hours a week, as well as Saturday through Wednesday. But I normally get off work at 10 o'clock at night some nights, and then I come on at 10:30 and go till about 1:30 in the morning. Just because I love the community and I want to be there every night and have a presence in the community to help people with their battles. And it's a way for me to unwind, you know, after a long day. So, I mean, it's something I love doing. And people are like, you're crazy streaming at 10:30 at night. I was like, well, you got to think about it. You got people in California that are, you know, still awake. You got people, you know, in Europe that are just waking up. And then you got people in Hawaii. So I was like, you know, it's just not the East Coast people, you know. So I was like, ah. It's fun, you know. So I really do enjoy streaming, even if it's just for a few hours each night. I'd rather be on live every night than versus like, oh, just stream 4 days a week and, you know, not be available the other three.
I feel called out a little bit there for my twice a week streams, dude.
He's like 10:30 is late, and I'm like, man, that's early.
That's when Astro's waking up. What are you guys
that's
talking
when
about?
I wake up. That's when the kids and the wife are asleep. So it's my time to actually do stuff.
So for those that don't know, when we record, typically we record Monday nights. We start at like 9-ish p.m. And if we are off the line phone by 1 a.m., we've done good typically. So yeah, your stream times are nothing. And a lot of the BTW crowd, you'll find a lot of us are online and watching Twitch at that time.
Yeah.
So as you know from Lyles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lyles is always up all times of night. So yeah, it's kind of, I don't blame you. That's not a bad time in my opinion. You get the late night crowd, and you kind of, is it weird to say, avoid some of the bigger streamers?
That's one of the things that I looked at when I was streaming. I looked at like who was streaming at what time, right? Because again, my goal is to reach out to the community and try to help them with their battling, right? And try to, you know, have a fun environment. And if my stream is really also more audience based than other streams when I'm a battler, because it's like I see people who just go in there and just battle, and then that's it, they're done, right? I want it to be more interactive, talk about like what I did, ask the chat if they have any questions. And the thing is, though, for me, if I don't really have an audience in the chat, it's like, okay, well, I can't really be interactive in that point, right? So I always love interacting with people. That's my main goal on stream, is to be interactive and have the audience feel like they're a part of the stream, not just watching the stream.
Which includes viewer battles. You do battles every night, which is awesome.
Yep.
So obviously, I mean, there's people who haven't started watching your stream. I know a lot, probably some of our listeners or whatever. How would you describe your stream? Like, how would you sell it to those people who aren't watching? Like, what's going to make them go, man, I'm going to go tune into this guy at 10:30 at night and watch him?
Oh, man. So for people that don't know me, you know, I would say that my stream is really, you know, audience oriented. I want to help people in their battles and show them that there are, you know, what teams I'm using and have them help practice against them, right? If you guys need help practicing your teams, that's what I'm here for, right? You know, is to help you with accounts, help you with getting live practice, live feedback, right? So that way you can take that knowledge into your next matches later that night. So that way you got instant feedback, like, oh, wait a second, that's what I was doing wrong. Okay, now I can go ahead and do this and fix this in my matchups, right? My whole goal is to help people climb to the next level in their journey. You know, my stream is basically, you know, there for the viewers, right? People are like, well, why don't you just stream for yourself? I was like, well, I kind of do, but at the same time, I really am there for the community. You know, my main goal has always been the community and bringing people together, you know, and that doesn't just include PvP battles. We have a Discord where you guys can go in there and ask for help in raids, right? We have a raid section. We have a we don't have much activity in our video game section, but if you guys want to post about the Legend of Arceus game or any other video games you're playing, you know, that's what it's there for. We want to build a big Pokemon community that's more than just Pokemon Go. And I want to try to help people in their journey. That's my main goal.
Yeah. So one thing I've noticed is the last couple of streams I've tuned in, you've been doing the draw names out of a hat teams.
Yep.
So
the hat battles. Yeah.
Right here. The hat battles. Exactly. So how large is that roster that you're picking from?
For Ultra League, it's about 60 Pokemon.
Whoa.
That's a 60 Pokemon.
Huge Ultra League roster.
Yep. Great League, I have 160.
I think that's about where I'm at with Great League. So yeah. But that's Astro, you're a huge Ultra League battler. You have what, 50 or so? Or do you even have that many?
I think it's maybe in like the 30s or 40s. It's definitely not 60. I wish.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of them are actually, and then here's the crazy thing. Like, some of them I have doubled up, right? So I have Charizard, right? I have two Charizards built for Ultra League. One with Dragon Breath, one with Wing Attack.
You need a third to have Fire Spin. Come on, what are you slacking on here?
I was like, but the Dragon Breath and the Wing Attack, it does enough damage. Fire Spin doesn't generate enough compared to those two, right?
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, you already have Blast Burn on it. That's enough fire damage as is. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was that, you know, like Crest. I have two Crests, one with Moonblast and Grass Knot, and the other one with Future Sight and Moonblast. You know, so I like doubling up on the Pokemon, especially when they have legacy moves, and building two of each, you know, if I can.
I fully agree. And this is actually something we've talked about on the podcast before, is anything that's meta-relevant that has multiple meta-relevant moves, you should have multiple. I will tell you, I am actually looking to build a second... second one of those things that I actually needed the other day. second Great League Umbreon.
Okay.
For Psychic. Because I ran into a tournament and I'm like, I really want Psychic, but I'm not going to waste two Charge TMs here.
I keep on trying to run the Umbreon Psychic one. I have one as well. And I'm like, what am I really going to use it for? Last Resort is just so good on Umbreon, you know? And
exactly.
I'm like, if I'm going to go Psychic, there are other Pokemon that have better Psychic moves out there, you know, that you can hit with. So I've always thought of like Umbreon as just a foul play Last Resort. I mean, yes, the Psychic move is great to have on it, to maybe throw people for a loop if they're trying to run like a Nidoqueen. But at the same time, though, the foul plays still just add up against it, you know, because Umbreon is such a tank. It's like, you know, you got to weigh out, like, is it really worth having the Psychic on it when against the Nidoqueen when you could still use that Last Resort against something else, right? That's what I always try to weigh the differences on.
Well, I was looking at, I really wanted Psychic for Obsidian Cub.
Okay.
Simply because I'm just so sick of Dragalge being so popular in metas.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted Psychic just to really piss off anyone using Dragalge, but I just wasn't going to invest to build a second one with Psychic for that for now.
Gotcha.
Just to chime in here, 52 for Ultra League.
Okay, look at you. You're being good.
And my Umbreon is a Psychic Umbreon.
So for Ultra League, I think you're better off with Psychic for Umbreon.
Correct. I 110% agree with that. I don't think Last Resort, it's not, in my opinion, and Spark, you can correct me if I'm wrong or whatever. I feel like you see more poison and fighting in Ultra League than you do in Great League. League. So it ends up, I know it's turned battles for me, mm-hmm. being able to throw the psychic.
And I definitely agree with that now, but in the past, before there was a bunch of psychic and fighting in Ultra League, you have to remember there was a lot of mirror matches with Umbreon, Mandibuzz, and stuff like that, other dark types, right? Where that Last Resort was so key in winning those matchups. You know, so that's why I'm like a little hesitant. It's like, I think it is shifting more towards what you're saying now, but in the past seasons, like 8 and 9 before 10 happened, you had a lot more of those dark types where you would need the Last Resort.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, I run a triple dark team that actually I got from Homeslice Henry. So,
oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I got it from Homeslice. So I saw it and I was like, man, I like that team. And then
Astro likes a lot of Homeslice Henry's teams. Yeah. Let's be honest here.
I do. I run a lot of his teams. But with that one, I think just towards the end of last season, I just switched out my Scrafty for Mandibuzz. Because I finally finished the Mandibuzz. And
that's what I'm working on now myself, is Mandibuzz. I'm about 60 XLs away.
It's fun. It is a lot of fun, and it pisses people off.
You know it's pissing them off. So you have a pretty large roster of Pokemon. What would you say is the spiciest Pokemon for Ultra League you have built?
Spiciest Ultra League Pokemon. Jeez. I mean, earlier today I was using a Breloom. So that was pretty spicy. And then I have an Arcanine as well. So I don't know if Arcanine would be considered a spice. You know, I mean, it's pretty spicy. It has Flame Charge and Flamethrower and Wild Charge on it.
Is that what you're running on it?
Yeah, Flamethrower, Wild Charge on that one.
And I like this guy. We should have him on the show more often.
And then I think there's one more I have. I got a ton of spicy ones in here. Let's see here. Which other one was a good one? Hold on. I mean, Greninja, I saw that from the 6-4 Ninja, so I had to build that one.
There's Astro's Arcanine that he has built as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so here is, there it is. Here's my fire
pop. So beautiful.
Oh, and he just casually flexes on you that it's a rank 1 Astro. The casual flex. Oh, I love it.
Eight is good. 8 is good. I'll be happy with rank 8.
I was like, when I saw it was the rank 1, I was like, I had to make it. I was like, okay.
I have the rank 1 Ferrothorn that I have yet to be able to build, and I will eventually move it. I build it up to the 1500 cap, and it's just going to sit there until I have all the XLs to get it up to, and then I'll run it in Master or Ultra League. But that's probably the spiciest I even have. I don't do enough Ultra to build spice. Like, my quote-unquote spice team I'm running right now for fun is Gallade, Typhlosion, Infernape.
Infernape's pretty spicy.
Oh, now, you guys know we have a challenge. Spark, I assume you've seen in our Discord, we're running some challenges this season.
Okay, yeah.
One of them is it only takes 2. So you have to battle with 2 Pokemon, 2 cat Pokemon, and a level or a 10 CP Pokemon. I actually won a battle today with the Gallade Typhlosion and a 10 CP Pikachu. Oh, it was perfect. The dude had to be throwing his phone when I caught a blast burn on a 10 CP Pikachu.
No, so if I do that challenge, this is the 10 CP one I am going to use.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's see here if I can get it there.
Oh, yeah, you must.
Zero IV. Nice. Shiny wallpaper.
So I also noticed something on stream, and you didn't show it on your phone there. I noticed you're getting pretty close to a pretty big milestone.
10,000 wins. Yeah, getting close. It's as of today, we are now at 9,964 wins.
So what's the plan for hitting 10,000? You got any celebration plans here?
I haven't thought about that yet, really. I mean, I know I want to do something for the channel. I don't know what we'll do yet, but it's definitely coming up soon. So I figure it's going to be in the next couple of days. We'll definitely be hitting it. Mm-hmm. I haven't thought about it. I was like, man, that's crazy to think we're almost at 10,000 victories, 20,000 battles overall. You know, we're about 800 battles away from that. So still averaging around 52% win rate.
That's actually really good across the entire GBL lifespan, because I know it took a lot of us early on, our win rates weren't that good. At least mine wasn't. So I think I'm right about the same thing, about a 52 or so. So do you focus on win rate at all? Is that something you actually track over across the season, or are you just mostly focused on your ELO?
I don't really focus on the win rate, but I mean, towards the end, I'm like, where am I at? Like, okay, if I'm around 54%, then I know that I have a chance of making legend, you know, because most of the time it takes you around 52.5% win rate to hit legend every season. So if you're around that win rate, you'll hit it by the end, usually, depending on the, you know, how the ELO works out. But yeah, I mean, overall, though, I just like looking at the numbers, seeing, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, I'm above what I did last season, you know. But I don't try to focus on the win rate too much.
So I got two things. Just hearing you talk, we have quite a few similarities here. When I started the podcast, that was one of my main things, was to create a community for people to learn to get better. Because obviously, when it started, like even now, I'm the lesser of the three on the show. Like, I hit veteran for the first time, I think, what, season eight? Was it season eight?
I believe it was eight or nine.
And that was huge for me. But you know, they're hitting legend every season now.
Hey, let's be honest. I didn't hit legend for the first time until season nine myself.
Yeah. So that was the whole purpose of the podcast, was to create something for people that they could listen to get better, and to put it in terms for beginners and, you know, all different types of trainers. But, one of the major things that I decided and I really wanted was an anti-negativity. It's not something that, you know, our Discord tolerates. We don't, you know, support people who, you know, have a tendency of, you know, trashing other players or things like that. And I noticed just from hearing you talk, you seem to be kind of on the same level as that. What made you decide? And also, like, you sharing your stuff, like, if anyone who's listened to the podcast knows, I'm an open book. I will tell you, I'll talk about pretty much anything that's going on in my life. I don't feel the need to hide anything from our listeners because, like, it doesn't really make a difference. I want them to feel like they're part of the group. So what made you decide when you started to stream? Like, was that something you decided before you went into streaming, or was it something that just kind of developed as you went?
I'm sorry, what's the
like, what's the, like the whole like positive, like being open?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, when I went on stream, I was like, I'm going to be myself, you know. I'm going to show people that what, you know, what I'm all about is, you know, about building a positive community, you know, because even before streaming, I was helping people out with battling, you know, like my friends and stuff like that. I was helping people get into raids, you know, in our local area. And, you know, even before I started streaming, I hosted like anime clubs and stuff like that because I wanted people to feel welcome. You know, and I love interacting with people. So my whole goal was to, when I started streaming, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to be myself, show people that I really care about this community because I do. And, I want people to feel welcome and know that they have a place to come, when, they need help, you know, or they just want to come by and just have a good time. Because I know that the bigger streamers out there, and it's no offense to them because they're so big, right? You know, they don't have time for everybody. You know, and sometimes they have Patreons where you have to pay $50 a month to get coaching, or, you know, you have to be, you know, sub to this, right? And, you know, my whole thing is that I want to be in a community where I can help people. You know, that's why I like that, you know, I'm still like a smaller streamer, right? You know, small, you know, I can help everybody out when I can. You know, and I want to keep that going. And even if I ever do grow to become like a bigger streamer, right? If that ever does happen, that's why I do channel points. I will never charge people anything for coaching. You know, I will have channel point redemptions where you guys can redeem for coaching sessions or help, you know, if the list just grows way too big. Like, you know, I, as a human being, I only have so much time available, right? But at the same time, though, I want to make sure I help those who need help, right? You know, and I want to try to make sure that I get everybody in there that I can.
Well, and speaking of that, you actually kind of stepped in and saved our butts really big. So we were having a tournament, and it's a coach-based tournament, sort of. It's a team coach tournament thing. And we had one of our coaches have a family emergency last minute and kind of had to drop out. And I just messaged Spark, and I'm like, hey, wouldn't you be interested in doing this? And literally without hesitation, it was absolutely, let's go. And I have not been eavesdropping on your chat. I've seen how many times you guys have been actually in voice chat with your team and the care that you give to your team. I can tell you, us other coaches probably aren't doing half as much as you have been.
Yeah. And, I apologize to the team for the past few days. I've been so busy with work. I haven't been able to drop in there to help with like the couple of rounds that they've just been in. But I plan to be in there again, like tomorrow and Sunday, to, you know, start reviewing stuff with them again. You know, and I was like, sorry, guys, but I saw Village of Wolves was taking care of stuff while I was out, you know, with work.
Yeah, and so, that's actually one of the reasons we designed the competition the way it was every team had two coaches because we wanted everyone to have a chance to not feel like they were all over.
Yeah, because if they got stuck with me alone, it would just be a bunch of people talking to each other.
I mean, my team pretty much got stuck with me. My co-captain's Fish, and we all know how good he is. I mean,
So speaking of busy schedules and stuff. So you said I have a tremendously busy schedule between work and family and the podcasts and stuff like that. You obviously work, like you said, you know, 40 plus hours plus the streaming every day. How do you schedule? Do you have like a schedule that you have to run by, or like how do you manage your time to make sure you fit everything in?
it's pretty difficult, to be honest. I'm very fortunate to work from home. So, I mean, that kind of helps with getting some of the stuff done around the house in between work, you know? So that I try to take advantage of as much time as I have available at home while before streaming. But yeah, I mean, overall though, it's, I try to make sure that I balance everything out the best that I can. And, yeah, I just know that on Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays, I'm going to have no time from basically 1 o'clock until 1:30 in the morning. You know, basically that's because I start work at 1 and then I go streaming at 10:30. Right. So then I know that I don't get up to 1:30 at night after stream. So I'm like, yep. So basically I sleep, wake up in the morning, get the stuff that I need to get done and then go to work. You know, so
that's a lot. Oof. So one other thing I do know from watching your streams is you actually are part of Team Rocket, who all of us in the PvP community know that's a pretty large organization. How did you get involved with Team Rocket and actually become part of that organization?
Yeah, that was it was a huge honor when I found out that they wanted me to be a part of the team. I talked to Alleging Tuna at first. You know, I was watching their stream for several months, following a lot of their channels for at least 6 months to almost a year, I think it was, you know, before I actually applied into the team. Because I asked Tuna, I was like, hey, you know, I really like the team. I really like the community, the atmosphere you guys have. It's really fun. You know, I want to be a part of this. I want to, you know, grow the community and, you know, show, you know, help out with the battling aspect of it. You know, you know, I was like, you do the raids and Pocket Monster Max. He does some battling. He does stream raiders. He does a wide variety of things. You know, he's the longest running Pokemon Go streamer on Twitch, you know. And then we got Thomas, you know, who does his CP incense races, you know, at night, you know, and he does a variety of things on stream and he's really cool. And we got Zeus, who's walking in the morning. He does live streams. And I was like, is there any way that I could be a part of your team? Because I really enjoy your guys' content and I hope I can add to it. And, you know, they looked at my stuff, looked at my streams, and saw what I was about. They appreciate the passion that I had for it. And then I got the notice one day from Thomas and Pocket Monster Max that I was a part of the team. And that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. So we're already running long. Shockingly, sure. That a BTW, anything's running long. but we're going to hop over to viewer questions. We did a few come in. Okay. If you have another question, y'all get them in the chat now. We're going to try to blast through these. Some guy named BTW Dino. Don't know who this idiot is, but he did apologize for not being here tonight. He apparently forgot he was supposed to be in New York with family this weekend. And then let us know after the fact. It's like, oh, crap, I screwed up.
It sounds right, though. He would forget that.
He would absolutely forget that. We can trash him as much as we want. I think he's already got a chat now. But wait, he asked,
you guys
what
do
is
it
your...
to me when I'm gone.
Yeah, exactly. He said, what is your long-term goal for streaming?
What's my long-term goal for streaming? I mean, my long-term goal, I mean, I just want to just continue streaming no matter what, as long as the community is enjoying what I have to offer, you know, and I'm still helping the community and I find that the content that I'm producing is helping the community out, I'll continue doing it, you know. And I just want to be available as much as I can. And I mean, I really don't have a long-term goal. It's just like I just want to keep doing it because I enjoy it, you know. Would it be, I mean, we've made a affiliate, of course, we're already affiliate with Twitch, right? But I mean, is partner our goal? Yeah, not really, you know, but I mean, it'd be kind of cool, but not, I mean, I'm not focused on that. If the numbers get there, sure, great. But if not, I'm here for the community. I really don't, you know, care about making partner or anything like that. But one of my goals is for Stream Raiders. I do have one long-term goal. Stream Raiders is a game we play on the side on our stream. And I would definitely like to get the numbers up there to eventually get skins for the channel, right? Because for the stream raiders, you need a certain amount of number of people placing on your boards and an average number of viewers in order to get skins designed for your channel. And the skins, you can have them, like I want to get Zapdos-inspired skins for my units that people can place on the board. you know, which I would think would be cool to kind of represent the channel. And then when people see those little Zapdoses on the board, they'll be like, hey, whose unit is that? And then it kind of helps promote the channel a little bit, right? So I guess that's one long-term goal. But besides that, my main goal is always the community first.
That is awesome to hear. That once again, it just aligns so perfectly to the message of the BTW about always, build the community, make sure it's great for everyone. So that's awesome. Now, I know you are loyal to Team Rocket. Are you looking to pick up additional sponsors, or do you think you're going to be a one sponsor channel?
I have to ask Team Rocket if I'm allowed to be a multiple,
sponsor. I'll talk to Sosa Flow.
But yeah, I wouldn't be against it, being a multiple sponsor channel, if it helps the community and it grows the community more and brings people together, of course, and I would be honored, because for me, it's not to have people that interested in having me a part of their team, it means a lot. It represents the hard work and the dedication that I've put into some of this stuff, right? And I'm not looking for recognition or anything like that, but it does. When people come to me and say, hey, we appreciate it, you guys don't understand how much that means to me, just because, with the world that we live in, you don't get that type of recognition with your jobs. You don't get that type of recognition from other stuff, right? And you feel like, you put a lot of work into something and you're like, man, I'm just going through the same thing. It's like, is it worth it? It's tough at times. And having you guys here and your support, I mean, it's been amazing. I really appreciate it, that you guys have come by and supported the channel as you have.
It's our pleasure. I have a good time watching your stream. And I'm not just saying that because he's on here, y'all. As he can tell you, I am at least 2 to 3 times a week, I am stopping in on his streams just to give him crap while he's playing. Because it's just so fun because of how much he interacts with his chat. So if you aren't, we'll get over to his links and things later. But if you aren't following, don't leave this yet. But as soon as we're done here, go follow Spark. Absolutely someone worth following. We do have another viewer question from Casa de Cubone, who is one of your coaching members here. And he did say that you are an awesome coach. So there you go. Wants to know, what is your Stardust stash? So I don't know if you've listened to a lot to the show. This is a kind of a running joke. I am a very rich man when it comes to Stardust, and I like to rub it into Astro and Dino's face. So
Hold on, let me see here. Nothing in this pocket. I think I'm broke.
So yeah, I give them a hard time. I've consistently had over 6 million Stardust for about a year now.
I'm at 149,000 right now. But again though, I have almost 160 plus another 60, so that's 220 plus then another 40 or 50 in Master League built. So I got like 270 mons, triple moved. Plus, then I got my raid mons that are triple moved,
How many triple Lyles does say you have more Stardust than him, so you're doing better than Lyles at least. There you go. Yeah.
I have that's it. That's the wrong one. Why can't I type in here? I cannot type today. How many tripping mons? I got 322 mons triple moved.
Well, you're up in that John Normus category. So John Normus is another one of our Discord members. He's the same way. He builds everything. He keeps no Stardust at all.
Yep. As soon as I get to 500,000, I'm like, what mon can I build now?
See, I take the same approach, but I just kind of act like 6 million is zero. And when I'm at 6.5, I'll build down to 6, and then I stay at 6 again. And then that way, if I ever come up on a Sylph tournament, I can build without having to worry about it when I need to build something.
True.
That is my whole thing. We also have Sunset Mode is asking, what has been your favorite moment streaming so far?
Oh, favorite moment streaming. Jeez. Man. I think there was Did I do that live? I think I did do that one live. There was a time when I actually played. Was it? Yeah, no, I did play Caleb. I played Caleb live on PV in an actual battle on stream. So during one of the sets, it was during season 3, and I actually ended up beating Caleb on stream and it was during one of my legend runs.
Nice.
I do remember that happening on stream. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. And besides that, I mean, there's been so many memorable moments. I mean, that's just too many to count. Just because everybody that's been in there is so interactive, it's been a lot of fun. We've had so many jokes, you know, in stream. It's always been a great time. But I think that's one of the moments that stand out, just because it was just a big name streamer that I ended up, winning against on stream at the time. And I'm like, that was huge.
Okay, we got one more question coming in, and he's typing it as I wait for it to come through. Oh, where did your catchphrase come from? Your zappity zap zap. How did that start?
All right. So, yeah, the zappity zap zap. that was it originally started because people were like, hey, you know, we had story time with Spark, you know, as a redemption. And then I had a redemption on stream called Get Zapdos on Screen, you know, because. You know, Tuna has like get the micro block of Gengar on screen. So it said get Zapdos on screen. Well, getting Zapdos on screen, people are like, well, hey, have Zapdos say something. Can we ask Zapdos a question? So I'm like, sure, you know, why not? You guys can ask Zapdos a question. And me being the person that I am, I have done anime Who's Line before, so I do improv at conventions. Okay. So I was like, okay, so how can we do this? You know, so they would ask a question, I would be like, zap, 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 you know, and then I would translate it, you know, and
that's awesome.
And then of course Zapdos has emotions. If you talk about Articuno, he gets upset, you know, and you know that type of stuff. But yeah.
That is awesome. So we do have one final segment we kind of want to run through here. And this is a special segment just for our executive edition show. So if you guys didn't listen to the last one, you won't know what we're talking about, but it's an absolute awesome. And it's two truths and one Lipard. So we'll keep the pressure off of Spark first. We'll come to Spark second, just so he doesn't have to reveal his lies out of the gate. So Astro, do you want to go first or second or first? Why, or third?
Why do I always have to go first? I'll go second.
You mean third? Cause
okay. Third.
Yeah. Okay. So my two truths and a lie part here. I have qualified and won a Pokemon VGC regionals. I have lost a foot race to Randall Cobb. I have won multiple ping pong tournaments. What's the lie?
Oh,
I'm going to say you have won multiple ping pong tournaments.
Astro?
I'm going to go with Randall Cobb on this one.
You are both wrong. So I lived in the dorm with Randall Cobb. Knew him personally when he was in college.
I was going to say, I thought you might have known him in school or something. So
yeah,
I was like,
yeah. So wife's still Facebook friends with him. Like, yes, actually know Randall. No, I cannot get you an autograph. No one dare ask. It's not, no. One night we were all just joshing around the dorm, and I was like, I bet I could get around this dorm once before you could three times. Of course, knowing I was never going to win that bet. So he went around five while my one happened just to show me up. So I have lost a foot race to Randall Cobb. And when I was in high school, I used to play ping pong competitively in the local area. So I've been in a few different ping pong tournaments. I tried to get into VGC, and for those that think battling is simple in the main series and it's all RPS and turn-based and it's so complex and there is so much to know, go watch Pokemon World sometimes and tell me if you can figure out what's actually happening all the time. So, no, I am not a competitive VGC player as much as I wanted to be. Okay, Spark, let's hear your two truths and a lie part.
Okay. So, in any order here, all right. I've sold a blind man a newspaper and a deaf person a cell phone as a sales rep. I once bought the Zoids anime DVD collection series that ended up costing me $1,100. And I've played on all three teams at one point in time in Pokemon Go.
Your lie is all three teams. Aster, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the all three teams. That's like 3,000 coins.
A lot. It's actually 20,000 coins to get all three.
There you go.
What's a lie? Are we right?
Yeah, you guys are actually right. I actually only played on Team Valor. I actually started off on Team Valor at first. My original name was Kamina Dragneel back in the day, and then I switched to Team Instinct. Now, I almost did play on all three teams because I did have an alt, but it was kind of funny. I named it Lance Blue Paladin for Voltron, right? But I ended up making it an Instinct account instead of a Mystic account, whatever. So I almost had all three teams, but I didn't. But I actually have sold a blind man a newspaper subscription and a deaf person a cell phone because when I was going door to door as a sales rep for the Maryland Gazette, which is a local newspaper, I gave them my spiel, talked to the person, and he's like, "Well, everything sounds great, but there's one issue: I'm blind." I'm like, "Oh," and then, you know, being like the type of person I am, I'm very personable, right? So I looked, like, I saw what it was in his house. I saw pictures of his wife, you know, and I kind of smelled like cooking in there. So I was like, okay, well, if he's blind, you know, maybe he's not cooking, you know, hopefully not. But, you know, so, and I was like 15 at the time, right? So I was like, well, you know, I see, you know, you're married, you know, is that picture, are you married? That's a picture of your wife on the wall. And he's like, yeah. I was like, well, why not sit down together, have a, you know, story, like, you know, she can read you the paper in the morning and you guys can have, you know, time together, you know, quality time. And, you know, so he bought the subscription based on the fact that I sold him on personal time with his wife.
Aaron, there's a real salesman. Yes. I appreciate that as a former salesman.
And then the deaf person's the cell phone, you know, I just, the deaf person with the cell phone, I just was working at Radio Shack at the time, and I couldn't really understand what they were saying. So I pulled out my phone, pulled out the text, right? And we were just typing on the screen, and I showed him my phone, and then he typed back, and I was like, okay. But Radio Shack was like, oh, you have to sell people phones, you know, no matter what, you know, they were kind of pressuring on that. So I was like, crap, how am I going to sell, you know, a deaf person a cell phone, right? So at the time, I was like, well, we got unlimited text messaging, you know? And I was like, he needs to communicate with his family, you know, and he doesn't have a phone. And these are touchscreen phones, so this is easier to text on. So I sold him on that, you know, based on, you know, how easy it was for us to communicate and for him to get unlimited texting.
There you go. That
thing. So, perfect. You know,
And yeah, and the anime just seemed right like something you would do.
yeah, the anime one. This is the DVDs back here. Those are the Zoids DVD back there behind the case. And come on, stay up there. There we go. Coming back.
But yeah, the anime DVDs. I mean, I love Zoids. Zoids was one of my favorite series in the 90s, and I was like, I had to get it. You know.
Okay, Astro. See if you can trick us.
Let's see. Let's see if I can do this. All right. First one. I have 5 kids all under the age of 10. I was born in Canada and I got drunk with Ozzy Osbourne.
Go ahead, Spark. I know one truth already. So
I'm going to say the Canada one.
Agreed as Canada as well.
You're correct.
I was like, the Ozzy Osbourne one. It sounds so far out there. It's not like that was true.
Sorry, Lyle.
Canada wouldn't have you. Let's be honest here. I mean.
Yes. So, yeah, that's that I'm born and raised in South Florida. I do have 5 kids under the age of 10, which is insane. Actually it was, I'm trying to think, it was probably 10 years ago. Went to Ozfest and I was working for Hot Topic at the time, and we got backstage passes, and I got to hang out with one of my favorite, I guess, metal singers. I don't know, whatever you want to call them. and we had like a whole little section for like the Hot Topic employees, and next thing you know, Ozzy comes out and he's just like, yeah, let's party, and got way too drunk way too fast. But
nice.
It was a memorable moment.
Nice. I think at that point, I think that's a show, y'all.
Yeah.
Spark, right. It was awesome to have you on. Before we start wrapping up officially, tell everyone where they can find you.
Right. So you guys can find me on Twitch. My Twitch is LeaderSpark2. The reason that it has LeaderSpark 2 is because originally it got locked down my original account for LeaderSpark. So so you can find me on Twitch at LeaderSpark 2 and on Twitter. It's going to be, what is my Twitter? That is a good question.
See, it's not just me. It's not just me.
No, it's not just you. What is my Twitter? Let me pull it up here. Sorry, guys. Because I just completely drew a blank on that one. It's at @leader_spark, @leader_spark for Twitter. And that is it, guys. I mean, and you guys can also go in my channel and do !! Discord to join our Discord. And that'll get you in there as well.
Discord's an awesome place. A lot of nice people. Free to join Discord as well. So for those that may be apprehensive about using Discord, absolutely free to, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember it's free to join.
It's free. It's free. Yep. Yeah.
Great. So I think at that point we're ready to wrap up. Before we do want to take a moment and thanks all of our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the show, you can for as little as $1 a month, which gains you access to our Discord. Astro will make sure there's links in the show note for that. We do want to special thanks to our Coach's Corner supporters, Clifford Mert, Thanks Friends 673, Eastwood, Mama Climbs, Hasui and Ryan, and Moshpit 37. Our Patreon producers, King Flip, Kittens and High Five, and King Toms. Our Discord admins, Reyes 683, Seagull, Fish on a Heater, Lyles Jeff 111, or the third, and Miami Doc. Our executive producer, Matthew Breaker. You can follow us on Twitter at BTWPVP Podcast. Follow us on Twitch, right where you're at. But for those who are listening later, twitch.tv/BTWPVP. You can always email us at info@btwpvp.com. Links for our merch store, Patreon, and our friends over at Palletown PvP are in the show notes, as well as all of Spark's links. I'll make sure Astro does the good thing and puts those in there. If becoming a Patreon is not your thing, you can, of course, support us by simply following here on this platform on Twitch or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast platform, as well as subscribe over to us on YouTube. We really want a link. We only need like 12 more people to subscribe. It's not hard, y'all. And if that's it. I want to thank you for listening to this executive edition of the BTW Beginner to Winner podcast. I'm Wildcat Dad 17.
And I'm Astro Zombie 954. Oh, am I supposed to say this?
No, I'm letting Spark sign off. He has to tell
me. And I'm just thinking of Spark. Thank you guys for having me.
And thanks, y'all. And until next time, good luck and get good.
Thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. This is the first time I've actually been interviewed on stream. You know, normally I'm the one doing the interviews, you know, so I'm like, this is kind of interesting. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So Smart, are you going back live tonight?
I am not. It's 10 o'clock. I'm actually going to call it an early night for myself, just because I got to get up at 7 a.m. tomorrow for work. So I'm like, yeah, I think I'm just going to chill tonight, since I already went live once earlier today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.